what these vaccinations are for. Otherwise, it's going to be the misinformation campaign. Remember, misinformation travels through the media sphere at 6 times that of real information. So if you like what you hear, please subscribe to our podcast and share it with others. We are here to educate.
Thanks for listening to Noise Filter, your public health podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to the Noise Filter podcast, follow us on social media, and leave us a review letting us know your favorite part of the show.
You can find me, Hope Pickerson, at hopepickerson.com.
And you can find me at Dr. Mark Allen Derry or at The Dr. Derry. That's D-R-D-E-R-Y.
To see and share our amazing animations and find out more information about us, the show, as well as links to our social media, go to noisefiltershow.com.
We are grateful to our sponsors, including Access Health Louisiana and the End the Epidemic Initiative, who are working to bring equitable health outcomes to everyone they serve. Hope, any last words?
Stay well out there, folks, and continue taking steps to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy. That includes exercise, a good diet, getting adequate sleep, and seeing your healthcare providers regularly.
And protect yourself and others by getting the COVID-19 vaccine and booster, wearing a mask, and social distancing wherever possible. Remember, health is a human right.
Community Radio, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 2022 Village Building Convergence, happening Friday, June 3rd through Sunday, June 12th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. daily in Portland and streaming on the web. The 2022 Village Convergence is 10 days of workshops and presentations around the work of placemaking and community enhancement. Again, that's the 2022 Village Building Convergence, happening Friday, June 3rd through Sunday, June 12th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. daily in Portland and streaming on the web. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good evening. You're listening to Transpositive here on KBOO Community Radio. My name is Emma, and I use she and her pronouns.
My name is Nicolette, and I use AM or they, them pronouns.
My name is Deborah, and I use she, they pronouns.
And we're here tonight with Deborah Porta of Pride Northwest to talk about the Pride Festival. It's been 2 years since the Pride Festival has happened due to COVID. And so we're just here to catch up on the Pride Festival and see what's going on. So, Deborah, welcome to Transpositive.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you. It's really such a tremendous honor to have you on Transpositive. So we just wanted to catch up on the last 2 years and find out what's been going on with Northwest Pride the last 2 years? What did you do during COVID times? And, you know, how did you survive? What's been going on?
Well, a lot has happened. You know, we held virtual celebration 2020 and 2021. And those were great. We're super excited to be back in person because nothing beats that, you know, mass of people. But really, as an organization, we have focused a lot on responding to COVID and responding to the impact in our community, whether financial, housing, food security. You know, a lot of we're not a direct service agency, but a lot of what we've been doing for the last 2.5 years looks much more like traditional, you know, sort of direct support efforts. And that's been with, you know, whether direct from us or in conjunction and support of Greater Portland Trans Unity and the Trans Housing Coalition and the C3PO project, other villages, other efforts, partnerships with MCC Portland for direct cash support. We were one of the intake organizations, the only LGBTQ plus specific organization that worked with the city when a lot of the CARES Act money came down and the direct cash to, especially for maintaining housing support. That was late 2020 and going into 2021. So there's just been a lot happening that's actually continuing to happen and building momentum around larger conversations about how to address some issues impacting our community. So we've actually been pretty busy.
How did COVID affect the queer community? I mean, can you maybe just mention a couple? Yeah, thanks.
Well, it's, you know, our the queer community is, as they say, overly represented in service industry, retail industry, frontline work, as they say, typically lower wage, less secure, these kinds of things. So when COVID hit, those were the first jobs to go, you know, and we were already struggling because as I'm sure you remember, the spikes in rental costs and all of that started several years before COVID ever even came around. And so then COVID just exacerbated all of that. And it also really, you know, so a lot of people were all of a sudden, you know, not sure if they'd have some place to live the next month, or maybe they didn't have some place to live. They were out of jobs. The whole thing of even trying to get unemployment took people months and months. It was, our system was not prepared for COVID. So you had a lot of that happening. We have a lot of our community who already live with, you know, health vulnerabilities, all of these pieces. So we were just incredibly impacted by all of the different elements of COVID. And so we just basically had to respond to that. You know, for us, it was, it wasn't so much about, you know, what's our mission? What are we supposed to be doing? Obviously we have to pay attention to that. But in our minds, it was, this is a crisis hitting the community. So we all need to respond.
Thank you. Deborah, what is the mission of Pride Northwest? I don't know if I've ever thought about that before, but because I just assumed, you know, Pride Northwest is the group that puts on the Pride Festival, but it sounds like Pride Northwest does more than just that. So what is the mission of Pride Northwest?
Sure. Well, Pride Northwest is obviously best known for the annual Portland Pride Waterfront Festival and Parade. Our mission is kind of long. Is to encourage and celebrate the positive diversity of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and trans communities, and to assist in the education of all people through the development of activities that showcase the history, accomplishments, and talents of these communities. So it's pretty broad, but as you can see, it's you know, we're on paper, if you're going to find us under a category, we would be considered arts and culture in these sort of broad lists, you know. And so that's really what a lot of, and we were still doing that through COVID as well. We were virtual film screenings, and, you know, we unveiled and were co-producers on the big LGBTQIA2S+ mural that was unveiled downtown last August, the first of its kind in Portland. So we're still also doing those things, but became much more engaged and active in also recognizing that there were other things that needed to be happening at the same time while we were able to do them.
Thank you. I've asked a lot of questions, Nicolette. Would you like to take a turn?
Yeah. So I guess one thing I would like to discuss is, why don't we talk a little bit about what Pride means and why we celebrate it? Because I see, you know, people who might be new to the concept or cishet people asking, well, what's there to celebrate? What's there to be proud of? Why isn't straight pride a thing? And so I would like to talk about, you know, why we celebrate Pride.
Sure. You know, that is actually not an easy answer, because our community comes to Pride from all kinds of different directions, and we have different experiences with Pride. Pride's original purpose was to basically take our rightful place in the public sphere, to be out and proud and public and visible, and to not be invisible and erased anymore. We, you know, decades before Stonewall, that we were being purged from employment, from public service. There were marches, there was advocacy, there were riots that happened because of a combination of just all of these oppressive elements attempting to either erase us, make us invisible, harm us. You know, we were very much targeted, and still are in many ways, by law enforcement at all levels, by, you know, state power, as it were. And Pride was really born out of the, so we're not gonna hide anymore. You know, Stonewall became the marker for the anniversary, and really was a big part of igniting the work that really needed to expand much more quickly. We were in a place as a community, as organizers, to basically take advantage of the visibility and the news coming out of Stonewall that the Stonewall riots caused, basically, the visibility around it. So we were able to take advantage of that and really push through, like, okay, so we need to address these things. And that's when a lot of laws began to get addressed, lots of other stuff that had been getting worked on, but there wasn't enough energy to it because we really didn't have any power. And once we were visible, it became really clear that there's a lot of us, and we do actually have the power to make change in our numbers. And so that is really the impetus behind Pride itself, is this visual reminder that we are a lot of people, and that we matter, and that we deserve equal presence and equal status in this country, because this is where it started, as full members of society here. You know, there's a lot of ebb and flow that's happened over the years. There's a lot of Pride history that folks kind of like to gloss over sometimes. It's not so pretty, but the real, not say real, the core meaning behind and the birth of Pride has never really changed. It's been about our visibility and the honoring of who we are as rightful people in this place.
How long has the Pride Festival been going on in Portland, Deborah?
So the Pride in some way or another has been held in Portland since the early 70s. The first outdoor, really visible event, I believe was 70, it depends on who you talk to, 75 or 76. In 76, the first Pride March happened. There were several organizers. Kathleen Sadat was heavily involved in that one, in really making that one happen. And they had, estimates say they had about 2,000 people in that march. So that was 76.
And I saw it, I saw some pictures from the very, I think it was the first Pride March in Portland in 76. And it seemed like the queer women's community, the lesbian community, really played a big role in kind of helping to start the Pride celebration in Portland. Is that true?
Yeah, that's my, I mean, I wasn't here then, but yes, that is my understanding of the history as well. When in 94, when the, because up until 94, basically this ad hoc committee would come together every year and plan the event, right? And in 94, one of those members was a young gay man. His name was Eric Brown. And the committee asked him to basically formalize a structure for the Pride planning process to create Pride Northwest. And so he went through the 501c3 and all of the, basically creating this legal entity that could be sustained so that Pride could be sustained. And in conversations with Eric, he mentioned that he was, if he wasn't the only male identified, you know, but the only gay man on the committee, he was one of only a couple. It was definitely, he considers himself, how did he put it? He considers himself to be honored to have been allowed to hang out with the lesbians, basically.
I guess I would like to ask next, are there any updates to what you're doing with the Pride Festival this year?
Sure. In 2020, before we had to shut down, we had just received permission from the city of Portland to expand the waterfront. It's not something they do very often because they actually really don't like events on the waterfront all that much because it tears up the ground. But we got permission. And so we went into this year, assuming we had the permission, and we do. So the waterfront itself, the festival is larger. Instead of ending at Pine Street on the north end, we're actually going all the way down to just north of Ash Street. So there's like a whole new section to the festival, which means that some of the entrances will be different. The main entrance is actually gonna be at Harvey Milk Street in NATO. We're expanding the LGBTQIA2S+ Arts Pavilion. That's a partnership with the Portland Gay Men's Chorus. So that's exciting. They're adding a visual art piece, art section to go with the performing arts stage. So that's the big change, is just the festival's bigger.
So Deborah, we'll ask a couple more times throughout the show, but when is the Pride Festival? Where is it happening? You know, that sort of thing. Can you tell us some of the details?
2022 Portland Pride Waterfront Festival and Parade is June 18-19. The festival is both those days, and then the parade is on the 19th. And there is a difference. There is a change in the parade route. Because of the mural that we unveiled, we haven't been able to celebrate the mural, so we want to include it in the parade. So there's, and all of this, the route and the lineup will actually be posted on our website by the end of this week. The festival remains a donation-based festival. It's $8 suggested donation. Those donations are, as I'm sure you would know, or you would recognize, that those donations are super important to ensuring that Pride continues. We are obviously still dealing with COVID, and we have elected to err on the side of caution. So we have some pretty strict COVID protocols in place, especially because numbers have risen again. Folks will need to demonstrate proof of vaccination at the gate. They can do that either with their card or with a picture of it on their phone. Vendors, exhibitors, folks inside, our staff will all be vaccinated and masked. Folks coming to the festival won't be required to wear a mask, but it's going to be strongly encouraged. Fortunately, if we were an indoor event, and I know that there are some indoor prides around the country, if we were an indoor event, planning would look probably really differently for us. Being outside is a big boost to knowing that it's already going to be a safer environment than it would be otherwise. Those are the big ones. Again, it's a donation-based festival, and we encourage folks to give. No one is turned away for not having that donation. We have always been strongly committed to ensuring that no one is turned away from Pride for lack of ability to pay something.
So I'm just making a comment as a journalist, Deborah. I'm just wondering, we're living in a time now where I think people have become more relaxed and kind of have let loose with some of their COVID expectations. So people may not necessarily be carrying around their vaccination cards. So what will you do if people show up and they don't have the vaccination card for Pride Festival?
Then they're going to have to go get it.
Okay.
Really, what I strongly encourage folks to do is do it now while you're thinking about it and take the picture. Just get the picture on your phone and don't worry about trying to carry your card around. Whatever help we can, if folks can be in getting that word out. Because we know that that's going to happen. And it's just one of those things where we are committed to making as safe a space as we possibly can, because there are so many people in our community who wouldn't even be able to consider coming to Pride otherwise. I really encourage folks to whip out that card now and take a picture of it and get it on your phone, and that way you don't have to worry about it.
Great. So let's talk about the parade a little bit. The parade this year, who's the grand marshal this year, and what's the theme of this year's parade?
This year's grand marshal is Bolivia Carmichaels, very well known performer in Portland, and we chose her, other than the fact that she's always been super supportive and is very well regarded in the community. When COVID hit, she put aside her own financial instability, because she's a full-time performer. So all of a sudden, all the places where she would normally be employed were gone. And really spent the first full year of the pandemic and more going and bringing community to people all over the region, all over the Portland metro area. She had a whole road tour. She'd show up in your cul-de-sac and do a whole performance right there in the corner. It didn't matter if there were 20 people there, 50 or two. You could have her come and perform in your neighborhood. So she did this like 6 or 7 performances a day, just driving everywhere. And then she was doing, free to attend weekly virtual performances, just doing all of these things to basically just bring community to everybody and keep people connected and kind of break through that isolation that is, I mean, there are still people in our community who are super isolated, but that, you know, remember, especially that the middle of the pandemic when the entire world was shut down and we couldn't see each other and all of that. And so it just made a really big difference to a lot of people, the energy behind that. And so we wanted to appreciate her for that. In terms of theme, its theme is always this interesting thing because it pride is universal is the theme that was that kind of rose to the top when we were having these conversations of just recognizing, especially our aspirations for pride, in terms of reaching for that place where it can bring all of our community together, not just parts of our community, but so that all of us are able to find a home. So that's pride is universal. That'll be what's on the shirt.
Oh, great. So are there any additions to the parade this year? Is there anything about the parade that's new or different that you'd like to point out to people?
Well, you know, that's interesting. There's a couple of things that are important to us. There's a group of, you know, with all of the anti-legislation that's cruising around the country, particularly targeting trans youth, there are a number of organizations. You've got GPTU, the Trans Housing Coalition, BRO, it's not called Transactive anymore, but Transactive at Lewis and Clark and one or two other groups, they're banding together for some really high visibility, lifting up and honoring our trans young folks. So I think that'll be a highlight. A couple of groups in the parade are bringing full on, you know, the Portland Pride Parade has this interesting mix. It's this reputation of being a big small town parade, because you've got mega group of people that take up a block next to, here's 25 people from the Star Wars cosplay group, you know, and flatbeds and just all kinds of different vehicles. But there are folks who they want to take it big. So there's at least one group that's going to have a big float that they're also going to have in the Rose Parade, you know? So it's going to be a really, I think, interesting mix of what people are bringing this year, you know. We will have, for the very first time, and this is one of those things that I think is important, there's going to be a contingent from the Royal Rosarians in the parade. And that's never happened. And if you're not familiar with who the Royal Rosarians are, they are sort of the city's ambassadors and a huge part of the Rose Festival parade thing. When you see them, you're like, okay, I know who you're talking about. And you know, there's been some sort of history between Pride and the Rose Festival simply because of who tends to come to town for these events. And so, you know, we've worked to develop a relationship with them, because in general, they're actually really supportive of us, the Rose Festival people themselves. And the Royal Rosarians, they, you know how the Imperial Sovereign Rose Court has title holders. The Royal Rosarians also have a title holder called the Prime Minister. And they're just like, that's their royalty for the group, right? And so this next year, their Prime Minister will, I believe, for only the second time in their 100-year plus history, will be an out gay man. And so there's going to be, it's one of these things where, like, why is that important? And it's really about other parts of the community seeing the importance in supporting Pride and supporting our and making those connections. It's very similar, because I'm kind of surprised this hasn't come up yet. You know, Portland Pride is overlapping Juneteenth this year, which it does every few years, right? Yeah. Our dates shift every year because of Memorial Day. So there's been a lot of talk about that. And it's something that we are very intentional about in our planning, in our visibility, who's on the main stage, this kind of stuff, along with continuing to work to build relationships, including with the organizers of Juneteenth, with race talks, with these other parts of our community that we tend to get pitted against each other, you know? And so Pride sometimes offers this opportunity to get past that and to develop relationships with each other. And so that's why something like the Royal Rosarians is important to me, because it's an indicator of the potential of building relationships there and strengthening our community.
Yeah. When you first said the Royal Rosarians, I thought, oh, the royalists, like something about the British monarchy.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if that's what you think.
So we're talking tonight with Deborah Porter from Pride Northwest about the Pride Festival. Deborah, again, can you tell us, when is the Pride Festival happening? How much does it cost? You know, when is the parade? All sure. that stuff. And where can people find out more information?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So Pride this year is June 18, 19. We'll be down on the waterfront for both days. And then the Portland Pride Parade will be on the 19th. That's a Sunday. And it'll step off at 11 a.m. from the North Park blocks. Again, the route will be just a teeny tad different so that we can include the mural. The festival is an $8 donation. We remain a donation-based festival and have no intention of changing away from that. No one will be turned away for lack of ability to pay. We just encourage folks to, you know, if they can, to support with whatever they can, because it helps support the festival year to year. For more information, we actually have an event website, which has a full listing of our what we call official Pride events. And these are events that we either put on ourselves, we're a charitable recipient for, or is a partnership with another organization. So portlandpride.org. And then if you look up under Pride, you'll see a link for the events. And, you know, we have basically a week of events, and some I'm really excited about. We have a new partnership with Race Talks this year that is going to be big. Their overall goal is to they're doing this for the first time as a Pride specific Race Talks, although they've been doing Race Talks in Portland for about 11 years. But you know, it's another one of those relationship building pieces that we're talking about. But there's Cirque du Soleil, the Portland Gay Men's Chorus will have their Saturday Pride concert. OMSI is doing a big family-friendly Pride celebration. So there's a lot of stuff on there.
Is the Trans March happening this year? Is Pride Northwest sponsoring the Trans March?
So the Trans March, just like the Dyke March, is actually organized by other people, not Pride Northwest. We support them by paying for the permit and the insurance, but we don't actually plan them. The organizers of the Trans March have been heavily involved in housing justice, food, housing security, justice, shelter, all of these things. And that's where they focus their energy at. I have not been notified that there's going to be a trans march.
Okay.
They're the best people. Greater Portland Trans Unity is actually the best group to reach out to for that, to see if there's
something. Yeah. Great. We'll reach out to them. What about the Dyke March? Is that happening this year?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Dyke March is happening. That'll be on Saturday, the 18th. Folks will gather at the waterfront leading up to about 6 o'clock. They'll step off right around six, and then they'll march, down NATO through Old Town up to the North Park blocks. Yeah, they're
cool.
That's definitely happening.
Is there a dance party or something afterwards? Is everyone going over to Inferno or something like that?
Well, you know, it's Pride weekend, so everybody has a kind of party.
Everybody's stuff got going on, right? Yeah.
Everybody's got something going on. Gay Liberation is happening again. And that'll be on that Saturday. You'll find that on the website. It's on that, on our list of events. But you know, you've got the block parties happening over at Scandals. Like I say, it's everybody has a party. Right. Wherever you go, you're going to find something to go to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nicolette, do you have any questions? I've asked a few questions.
Yeah. So I know you've kind of addressed this a little bit, but I wanted to ask directly. I know a lot of people within the LGBT plus community, especially around Pride Month, they often tend to feel like Pride events and queer events in general are very centered around cis, white, able-bodied gay people. And so I wanted to ask, are you doing anything with Pride, the Pride Festival, to be more inclusive and welcoming of other communities, such as people of color, trans people, disabled people, etc.?
Sure. So Pride itself, the Pride Festival, it's always an interesting endeavor to make that space as physically accessible as it can be, because it's a waterfront and events have been happening, tearing up the ground before we go in there. And, you know, one of the reasons that we're placing, we're going to have two main entrances and they're both going to have sidewalks, paved entrances into the festival to allow, because sand builds up at the old entrances and there's just all kinds of mobility things that start to happen there. We are adding a deaf community space that will be hosted by the ASL interpreters that take care of the main stage, but we're gonna have a big double space near the stage with some seating and community, and folks can gather and talk to each other, connect, that kind of thing. We've expanded the community areas. We've doubled their footprint basically so that they can do more. We are very specifically utilizing the main stage, utilizing is not the right word, planning for the main stage to center almost exclusively queer Black voices and talent on the main stage all weekend. It's something that we are always mindful of and work toward. This year, in a time when we overlap with Juneteenth, we're extra aware and very intentional about ensuring that those voices are priority put to the forefront, elevated. And we're also working with some small Black-owned businesses, some queer Black-owned and some not, to lift up their existence and support their economic journeys through being food vendors. We're profiling them on our website and this kind of thing to provide that economic opportunity and to provide to elevate their visibility as small Black-owned businesses. As I mentioned before, we're also partnering with Race Talks for, it's the history of Black drag in Portland, and it's their event, and we're supporting it, and then working together for what we want to do in the future. So it's kind of interspersed through various parts of what we're putting together. And then obviously we're having consistent internal conversations around, okay, what are the elements that we need to address? Where can we address? Where we, who's not here, really, to continue building Portland Pride into a space where everyone can find a place to be and be part of.
Thank you. One of the issues I've heard some of the other Pride festivals around the country have been considering this year or have actually implemented is asking the police not to come. Where is the Pride Northwest in terms of its conversation with, the PPB?
So for us, it's not just the PPB, it's law enforcement in general. We, in 2019, we implemented a policy of no, let me back up just a minute. We began having conversations, like serious conversations with the Portland Police Department and specifically the Sheriff Department and Portland Police Department around trying to find some way to recognize the impact of their uniformed presence in the parade. And that was really a hard conversation because they didn't react very well. That was a hard year. But we continued having this conversation over the next couple of years around trying to get law enforcement to understand their impact and particularly the impact of their presence on the people that they didn't see at Pride. And finally, we got to a place in 2019, we're like, okay, so we put a policy in place of no weapons at all in the parade. And in all honesty, in the state of Oregon, law enforcement is not allowed to represent as law enforcement if they're not armed. So that's where we started. Then in 2020, when George Floyd was killed, we very quickly realized, okay, so here's the line. Here's, you know, this, we're gonna make a statement and we're gonna draw a line. And so as of 2020, armed, uniformed law enforcement are not allowed to march in the Portland Pride Parade or exhibit inside the Portland Festival, Pride Festival. They'll be armed anyway. Uniformed law enforcement at the parade doing their jobs, which is a requirement of the city, they can be there and do their jobs. But participating, marching, and exhibiting at Pride, that was the policy prohibiting that was put in place in 2020. And then all of the departments that typically participate were notified at the time.
So I know it must be a really challenging conversation to have around this issue. Like, I remember this one group that I was in that just stopped meeting recently, the former mayor's daughter was one of the first out lesbians in the Portland Police Bureau. And it's like, it's kind of tough. I mean, how do you have that conversation when there's like queer members of the PPB who want to represent, but then also there's the much broader issue of community safety and, you know, the fact that there's a lot of people who don't really feel comfortable with any uniformed officers carrying weapons.
We know that there are officers at all kinds of events with a polo, and maybe there's like a little emblem on their pocket, right? Or something like that. We know that officers attend and participate in events out of full uniform. They refused. That was actually the big sticking point. For whatever reason, they would not do that for Pride. And and we did get lots and lots of, I won't go into detail here, but it was actually a little bit of a scary time there for a while. My board of directors wouldn't allow me to be alone during Pride weekend because they didn't know who was going to come after me. But that was really, you know, we got a lot of pushback in terms of, you're forcing us back into the closet. You're forcing us to be not seen. You're forcing us to, you know, on and on. And it didn't matter. It didn't seem to matter how many conversations we had or how many stories they heard or how much dialogue happened. There was no, we could not move past that. And finally, I forget who it was. Someone said, Deborah, just tell them what the rules are and they'll abide by the rules. I said, well, if that's what we're going to have to do, then that's what we're going to have to do. So that's what we did.
Yeah, they can march like wearing shorts and a t-shirt that says who they're with or whatever.
Right. I mean, there is a larger conversation. As I mentioned earlier, law enforcement in the state of Oregon, it doesn't matter what kind, is not allowed to represent as an officer without being armed. And, you know, there's a conversation that departments need to have with the state about recognizing the potential for, like, officers kind of technically don't have a choice, even if they wanted to, which they don't. Even if they wanted to, they couldn't make the decision. Really, it came down to, we were trying to open a door to some kind of resolution. And it wasn't going anywhere.
We're talking tonight with Deborah Porta of Northwest Pride, heading into the last few minutes of the show. Deborah, remind us again, when is the Pride Festival happening and where can people find out about it?
Sure. Portland Pride Festival is June 18, 19. The parade is on the 19th, steps off at 11 a.m. We have a full page of official Pride events on our event website. It's portlandpride.org. And then under Portland Pride, you'll find Pride events, and there's just a full list with all the information that you need.
Now, Deborah, I'd like to know the truth, okay? So you have to be honest with me, okay? I really need to know the truth about this. Now, how long is the parade actually going to be this year?
Well, in 2019, if I remember correctly, we clocked it at right at about 3 hours.
Oh, no.
From when it first stepped off to the last contingent reaching the waterfront. Based on demand, we're just kind of planning for that to be the same.
Yeah.
I don't.
You think we could tell people to just walk a little faster or something?
sometimes we do.
I mean, it takes me about 15 minutes to walk that route, you know.
Well, you know, there's lots of waving that has to happen. There's performance. People stop and do, because they're allowed, every group is allowed 2 times to stop and do like a 30-second, whatever it is they're going to do. Yeah. Sometimes they don't keep track of time. Sometimes it's because a max went by and stopped everybody. You know, there's all kinds of different reasons. But we try. We try.
Can people still like throw things at the crowd? Can they do that anymore?
Well, you know, for a long time, the rule was you can do anything. Now the rule is you can hand things to people on the side. Okay. The big prohibition is against throwing.
Right. Okay.
You can hand swag and candy, whatever it is you got, you can hand it off to people.
What about like squirting people? Can you like squirt them with like water or something?
I'm not sure if I have an answer to that. How that might could be construed the same as throwing something.
I think so. Yeah, probably. Yeah. Do we have any elected officials in the parade this year?
Well, you know, right before this, I had a meeting with the city. And so the invite is going out to all of the commissioners. I'm sure that there'll be some folks from Multnomah County. Clackamas is registered. We kind of sort of don't know until they show up because they tend to march, like they don't march on their own very rarely.
Yeah.
They usually march with other folks. I'm sure there'll be some electeds in the Bro contingent. Some others, you know, I'm sure Cap will have somebody. There's always.
Now, when we talk about queer folks, so untranspositive, one of the issues that we always, we talk about a lot, it's kind of like, it's one of the groups that like doesn't get mentioned as much. I mean, like they don't have an N in like the LGBTQ, but the non-binary community. Like what kind of representation is there for the non-binary community this year at Pride Festival?
Well, you know, that's a good question. It's, I'm pretty sure I will admit that entertainment, as long as it's done well, is the one thing that I'm least involved in. I'm involved I'm interested in the end result of it. But I'm pretty sure that we have several performers on the stage who are, BIPOC as well as non-binary, trans, non-binary, some of both. And then I know that there's the trans youth contingent is actually a trans non-binary contingent, so there's a lot of visibility in that one. Folks have ideas. You know, this is something that I tell folks is a lot of times Pride is really what comes out of Pride is based on who's involved in Pride. And so the more people engage with their creativity, their ideas, what does representation look like at Pride? You know, how does that manifest? What are these different areas?
So the US Trans Survey is gonna be going live sometime this summer. Do you know if there's going to be anyone at Pride this year kind of signing people up to take the pledge to take the U.S. Trans Survey? It's really the greatest source of data collection we have as a trans community for kind of knowing who we are and what we are. And it plays such an important role in terms of demographics for getting grants and for, you know, using to appeal to lawmakers regarding representation. Do you know if there'll be anyone from the U.S. Trans Survey there or trying to get people registered to take the pledge to take the survey once it goes live?
It won't surprise me, but they haven't specifically reached out one-to-one.
Okay. You know,
a lot of times for any of like the survey, the research, the information gathering, they'll coordinate with another organization.
Yeah.
Be part of their activation, as we call it, on the, you know, like part of their booth or part of that effort. They don't tend to come on their own.
Right.
Separately. I know that we are in partnership with the Equi Institute for a Oregon-based comprehensive survey and research project across the community. The survey, the goal is to have that ready to roll out at the end of this year, at the end of December.
Great.
And if
of course, the most important question, Deborah, is what is the weather going to be?
The weather's going to be beautiful.
Oh, great. That's okay, I'm glad to hear that. glad to hear it. You're predicting that 2 weeks in advance. Awesome. Hopefully it will not be 116 degrees this year.
No.
It was like one of the few blessings about not having the Pride Festival last year.
that did cross my mind. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Nicola, do you have any last questions?
You know, I think all my questions have been answered, actually.
That's great. So Deborah, just a couple, you know, like a couple of last questions. Like, what are you looking forward to the most about the Pride Festival this year? Is it when it'll be over with?
Well, there's always that. I've forgotten how much work this is. It's a lot of work. One of my favorite, and it's never changed from the first time I was at Portland Pride, one of my favorite parts of the entire event is the arrival of the parade at the festival, because the energy just comes down the street in a wave. And, you know, there's just not a, I don't even know how to describe it to people. You got to kind of experience it. And so that's always one of my favorite things. Obviously, after coming back from COVID, there's a ton of people that I haven't seen in forever. And I just think the energy is just really going to be very high.
Yeah.
You know.
And looking at Pride's past, like, what is your favorite Pride festival ever? Like, of all the ones, because I know you've been doing this a long time, like, what's the best one you have ever had?
Well, honestly, one of my favorite Prides was the very first Portland Pride I came to, and I was actually an exhibitor in 2001 before I ever got involved. And it was back in the day when there wasn't a walk around liquor license, which meant that there wasn't a fence. And my coworker and I slept in our booth the whole weekend. Oh, we didn't leave the waterfront the entire weekend. And that was just such a, you know, at one point we had the street preachers cruising through the middle of the festival. And I'm from Texas and I'd only been here for a couple of years. I was like, oh my God, what's happening? So here come the street preachers doing their thing. And then here comes this, you know, young queerbee running out, nothing but tassels on, just dancing all over these street preachers. And then, you know, they're yelling stuff. So then over here on the other side of my booth is someone yelling, here come, you know, not to offend anybody, but here come the Christians, watch out for your pets. And I mean, because they were turning their language around, right? So that was just, I grew up a lot that Pride, I guess.
Yeah.
But that was the first year, because I did get to go down to see the beginning arrival of the parade, and I had never seen such, you know, you've got ministers and preachers and all kinds of people down there. You got the P flag with their signs and all the language of their signs, and the response of the people arriving, maybe for the first time in their entire life, seeing someone with a collar, not only not hating them, but, you know, welcoming in. Just that was not, I don't think anything will ever beat that, because I have never seen that in my life. And I can't say I've gotten used to it now, but I see it over and over. But that one still stands out because it was just incredible to me.
Oh, thanks. Well, so we've been talking tonight with Deborah Porta about the Northwest Pride Festival. The Pride Festival is June 18th and 19th. The Pride Parade begins on Sunday, June 19th at 11 o'clock in the North Park Blocks. And Deborah, where can people go to find out online to find out about the events?
Our event website is pridenw.org. Drop down menu of Portland Pride, you'll see the events link, and it's all listed there. It's a week of events at this point.
Thanks so much for joining us on Transpositive tonight. You've been talking tonight with, I'm Emma, and
I'm Nicolette. Thank you so much for joining us, Deborah.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Transgender people don't live here.
I've never met anyone who's transgender.
I swear I don't know someone who's transgender.
Transgender and non-binary people like me hear this all the time. But according to the HRC Foundation, there are more than 2 million transgender people in the United States.
We live in every community across this country.
You might be surprised to hear that there are more transgender and non-binary people in the United States than there are
Starbucks, McDonald's, and Walmart locations combined.
In fact, if you put us all together,
there'd be more non-binary and transgender folks than the populations of DC,
or Nebraska,
or Maine,
or Idaho,
or West Virginia.
As a matter of fact, 15 states have a lower population than the amount of trans folks in the US.
So here are a few things to keep in mind.
You don't always know when a person is trans.
But we're your neighbors,
your coworkers,
your students,
your customers,
and even your friends and family.
We exist in every culture, todas las culturas, throughout human history.
And while we're more visible than ever before,
sometimes you just don't see us.
So when you hear about politicians pushing forward discriminatory bills,
know this, these bills address problems that aren't even real.
Problems that don't actually exist.
But we do.
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 And we need your support.